Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Parent Factors with your host, Dr. John DeGarlo. Today, families are a lot different than they were in the past. So whether you have one child or you're part of a blended family, you can depend on Dr. John for weekly insights, answers, tips, and solutions. Now, the world of parenting is right at your fingertips. Here's Dr. John.
And welcome to another episode of Parent Factors with Dr. John. I'm your host, Dr. John DeGarmo. Have you ever had a brain injury of some kind? Now, I just don't say that in a facetious manner. I'm serious now. You know, many people say to me, Dr. John, I think you've had lots of brain injuries, taking all those kids in your home. And that may be true. But you know what? There was, I remember time distinctly. I was actually on the island of Bermuda. I was backstage at a military base, and I was about to go on stage and perform. I was in a, as you probably know, I was in a performing group up with people traveling the world. We were actually doing 2 weeks in Bermuda. And I was backstage at this facility, and I bent down to tie my shoe, and my head hit a black curtain, if you will. But I did not know behind the black curtain was a metal or steel pillar. And my head rang that pillar as hard as it could. I went on stage, did my act, walked off stage, handed the microphone to somebody, and dropped unconscious. The next thing I knew, I was woke up in the hospital, and I had suffered a concussion. And let me tell you, I can still feel the effects of that this day. If I just think about it, I can feel the ringing. And it was something that was, oh, just absolutely horrific. Well, our special guest today is going to help people who have had these things happen to them before. She is a physician, she's an author, she's a speaker, and she is a brain expert. Dr. Johnny Liu is an international leader in Chinese sports medicine and Chinese sports psychology. She has appeared on USA and Canada and Fox, NBC, CTF, and Global TV to speak up proactively about concussions. So, if you've ever had a brain injury, you've had questions about the type of thing, then tune into this great episode of Parent Factors with Dr. John. Dr. Johnny, thank you so much for appearing on the program this week.
Oh, thank you so much, Dr. John. And I'd like to tell you that I really appreciate the work that you do for your audience. I really, truly believe that if a child's family has failed them, that a foster family is definitely a chance to turn that little life around.
Well, you are very, very kind. We try to do that. We try to make a difference. But you know, the 50 plus kids that have come through my home have turned my life around, probably more than theirs. So I appreciate your kind words. So you know, I have had a concussion, and I worked in an industry for some time where concussions are very, very common. I don't know if you know this or not, but if you were to go around my website a little bit, you would see that for a while in my life, for a period, and this is many years ago, I actually worked in the field of professional wrestling, where concussions are quite common there. So, you know, I'm very familiar with it, and it is not something to be taken lightly, is it?
No. Concussions are definitely a brain injury. What I'm really very concerned about is the fact that right now in conventional medicine, there really is no conventional treatment for concussions as we know it. What they consider to be treatment is to actually do nothing, to stop everything that you're doing, to stay home from work, from school, and just hang out in a bedroom, in a dark bedroom, and do nothing at all. And that, to me, is not a treatment.
Wow. Why do you think there is that approach? Why do you think there is not an approach to help? Is there just is there ignorance of the severity of it?
I'm really not sure. I've never been able to figure out why it is. But I do find that we have the research. We have so much research about the brain, and over the last 20 to 25 years, we know so much more. We understand the psychological part, and we understand the physical structural part. But for some reason, what they focus on, neurologists are basically surgeons, and you don't need surgery to try to heal a concussion. You don't need anything as drastic as that. What you really do need is just using what information we already have and having common sense.
Wow. Okay. So I want to ask you what. Why are concussions? Why are they temporary? Are they temporary, or is it something that lasts longer than that?
Well, they should be temporary. In fact, any condition that a person has should be temporary. And it's temporary if you know what to do. That's the key. If you understand that the brain is very emotional and that the problem is that usually something drastic is going on in somebody's life that has upset them to a great deal, then we have to do something. And for some reason, some people are born with weaknesses in that area and other people aren't. So, you know, a bump in the head is not going to guarantee, even with what you went through, it doesn't guarantee that somebody is going to have a concussion. Some people just bounce right back up, you know, and if nothing has happened. And it's true.
Sure. So what are the three major or massive mistakes, you will, that I am making or anybody's making when they have a concussion? You know, so many people I've worked with in the past in wrestling, they just ignore it and then go on. And then I read about frightening things happening later on in their life. What are the three big mistakes that people are making when a concussion occurs?
Well, the first thing is going to emergency and expecting to have a diagnosis. And the thing is that you don't really need to get an X-ray. You don't need to get an MRI. You don't need to get in line to use up such expensive resources because, for one thing, an X-ray only shows bone. And really, you're not going to see cracks in your brain or rips in your brain, you know, nothing like that. It's really a functional problem. So going to emergency in the first place isn't a good idea. The second mistake is, like I said, you know, doing nothing about your concussion. Staying in a dark room for days on end, not a good idea, especially since recent research has shown that doing nothing actually puts people more at risk for prolonging their symptoms, making them worse, and even making them more susceptible to depression. The third mistake is believing that you can't speed up the healing process, but you can if you know what to do.
Okay, so that leads me to the question then, what do you do? If you don't sit in the room and do nothing in a black room, what do you do?
Okay. I recommend, first of all, out in the field where somebody has just gotten hit, you know, so you suspect that someone has a concussion, the first thing that can be done to satisfy your curiosity and also bring down the fear factor is test the eyes first, okay?
Okay.
So we must look at the pupils to see if they're dilated. So in bright light, the pupils should not be dilated, in bright daylight. And so you can always whip out something like a credit card or a small piece of paper, you know, with print on it, and have the person try to read what's on that card or on that piece of paper. And if they're having difficulty, then you know that they're having eyesight problems. Okay, so that's definitely one sign. Now, if they pass that, then and if they're more than likely sitting down on the ground, you know, because you've taken them off the field or off whatever, so they're probably sitting down. So get them to stand up by themselves. If they have difficulty standing up, then they have a problem. Now, if they are standing up okay, then have them walk in a straight line, whether it's a real one or an imaginary one, and observe. If they're having difficulty, then you know they're also having a problem at that point. So more than likely, they are suffering from the aftermath of a concussion.
Okay. You know, now this... Go ahead. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
So
what... So what can be done about concussions? So you know, what is post-concussion syndrome?
Post-concussion syndrome are, okay, so the symptoms of a concussion are usually headaches. It could be nausea. There could be vomiting.
Right.
There could be eyesight problems, okay, which is what we're checking
right.
out. There could be balance problems. There could be cognitive problems, you know, people not being able to tell you where they are, or they can't remember. They suddenly have a short memory lapse. And so now even these symptoms might not happen right away. They might happen a few hours later or the next day, okay? But when you have post-concussion syndrome, that's when you've had a bunch of these symptoms, not all of them, after, you know, a week, 2 weeks, you know, it's prolonged. They've been around for a while. And many people actually suffer from really terrible headaches for months, even years later, because it hasn't been treated properly. So the things
right.
that people can do about concussion, the first thing I do is, I would say, is don't stop everything, okay? But you have
okay.
to be very honest with yourself. So if you're feeling tired, then stop whatever you're doing and rest. Again, you have to be honest with yourself. If you're doing something that you really want to do, but you're feeling uncomfortable by doing it, then again, be honest. Stop. Try again another time. But the thing is that when people are left to themselves in a dark room, what do you think is going to be running through their minds? Are they going to be thinking, oh, gosh, you know, I can't wait to get out here and, you know, blah, blah, blah. I think a lot of people are actually getting more and more worried by what might be happening, simply because they may have heard, you know, and read the news about the things that are going on with professional athletes, and it's not good, because the news definitely tend to exaggerate the bad things that are happening to people instead of talking about the good things. I mean, I think
Absolutely.
People can recover
Absolutely.
By themselves. However, for those who can't, they definitely need extra help.
Well, let's go into that football thing there. You know, I hear a lot about how high school players, college players, even pro players are affected by concussions. And I've even read about some high schools saying, you know what, we don't know if we can continue this because of the what's happening to the brain. Is there a problem there, or is it hype from the media, or a little bit of both?
I would say there's a little bit of both, because definitely the media draws people's attention to things, and then people, because they don't know what to do, because that's really the source of the fear, is because people don't want to be diagnosed with a concussion because there's no way, they can't think of a way to help themselves. And when people feel helpless, that's when the fear rises. So that's why now we've got all these, well, crazy ideas out there. For instance, you know, in soccer or football to the rest of the world, some people are trying to stop heading, which is a major part of the game. And the thing is that anyone who's ever played soccer or who has been involved with it, you know, such as myself, if you're ready for that ball, you're not going to get hurt.
Right.
And there are hundreds of millions of people that are playing this game. So to me, looking at it statistically, there's just not many people that are going to be hurt if they're trained well in order to do that heading properly. Now,
sure.
Somebody was telling me the other day about, okay, football, NFL or CFL in this case, and you were asking me about the thickness of the equipment, the padding that players are wearing. And, well, it's the same thing in hockey as well. It's not just the thickness of the padding. It's the hardness of the padding. so that players, it's supposed to protect them themselves. But the thing is that you're using these things as a weapon because you're
right.
not aware of how hard an impact you're going to have on the other person. So so that equipment, so-called improvement, I think, is part of the problem.
Right, right. I have no doubt. Listen, we have to take a commercial break. When we come back, I want to hear more about this, and I want to actually hear what is the Chinese sports psychology, how it's different than mainstream. You're listening to Parent Factors with Dr. John. We'll be back.
Did you ever wish there was a manual for foster parents? Well, now there is. This manual is a comprehensive guide offering proven, friendly advice for novice and experienced parents alike. Distilling many years' experience into one book, U.S. foster and adoptive parent John DeGarmo combines his own hard-won wisdom with that of fellow foster parents. He describes what to expect from the process, how to access help and support, and how to ensure the best care for your child. The Foster Parenting Manual, available now in stores and at Amazon.com.
Hey there, this is Barb Royal, founder of KidsCanGive2.com. We make it easy for kids to share half of their birthday money with a charity. You may have heard me on a recent Dr. John show chatting about the importance of teaching kids about giving and philanthropy. I get a lot of feedback from parents about KidsCanGive2.com, and the thing I hear them say the most is they love the opportunity to teach their kids a real-life lesson in giving. A Visa gift card, a charitable donation, and the lesson of a lifetime. Check it out at KidsCanGive2.com, and most importantly, set a reminder so your child can share their birthday with the charity of their choice.
Hey, friends, if you're like my wife, every December 29th, 30th, 31st, she says to herself, oh, my goodness, I don't have enough foster parent training hours. Well, now you can get your training webinars in the comfort of your own home. Online training webinars are now available. I have 12 of them available for you on my website, and you will receive 1 hour credit for each one. Plus, I will send you a signed certificate straight to your home. These training webinars include Aging Out of the Foster Care System Parts 1 and 2, Burnout and Stress in Foster Care, Foster Children and the Dangers of Online Technology, Loss and Grief in Foster Care, Marriage and Foster Parenting Part 1 and 2, Placement, How to Prepare for Your Foster Child, Schools and Foster Children Part 1 and 2, Sexual Predators and Sexting in Foster Care, and Trauma and Stress for Those Involved in Foster Care. Online training webinars available just for you, available in the comfort of your own home. Don't even walk out the door. Just click online and you can take them.
Did you know there are more than 400,000 children in foster care? Foster, adoptive, and kinship caregivers stand in the gap for these children, and they need support too. The National Foster Parent Association has been the voice of foster, adoptive, and kinship caregivers for more than 40 years, advocating for thousands of families who open their heart and homes to children in need. Learn more about NFPA at www.nfpaonline.org or call 1-800-557-5238.
And now back to Dr. John and Parent Factors.
And we're back with Parent Factors with Dr. John. I'm your host, Dr. John DeGarmo, and we have with us a physician, author, speaker, and brain expert, and an international leader in Chinese sports medicine, Dr. Joni Liu. So, Dr. Joni, I want to know exactly what is Chinese psychology? Does that differ at all from mainstream psychology that we hear or mainstream sports medicine?
Yes, it does. And the fundamental difference is that we place 100% importance on the psychological state of a person as far as whether they're going to be successful, and that also means whether they're going to be physically healthy as well, because you can't have one without the other. The psychological state of a person is very intimately tied to the physiological and physical state of a person.
So how did you become an expert in this area, or why did you become an expert? What led you to becoming interested in this?
Gosh, you know, it's kind of interesting because, well, it takes several years to graduate with a degree in Chinese medicine, and for me, it was a post-degree because I'm already a professional engineer. So I was going from being a very logical person to being somebody who was now really practicing an art, but also a science of medicine. And it's kind of interesting because in my second year, at the beginning of my second year at school, I told my faculty head that it was okay to memorize prescriptions and do stuff like that, but what I really wanted to do was to understand why the medicine worked. That to me was far more important. And so when I finished up my education, my formal education, started my practice a few years later, that's when my real teachers came along. And my real teachers were my clients and other formal teachers. And I just started studying the psychological side of things because it just made so much sense. And then I've been over and over again vindicated even by modern medicine. If you've ever heard of HeartMath Institute or even some of the research that has come out about why heart disease happens, you know, they're finding that people who are very angry can have heart attacks, that dementia is affected by people who are cynical. So
right.
a lot of negative mental activity really influences our physical being, and not for the good. But through my practice, I really began to see what would happen to my clients as I start working on the things that made them unhappy and help them to clear that stuff, actually work on their problems, on the things that really bugged them, and have real solutions for those things that gave them a heck of a lot more confidence and knowing that, yeah, I can handle life. I can do this.
Sure.
I've got the skills, you know, because the life skills are so important.
So why isn't society then? We have all this wonderful research that's going on in neuroscience and neuropsychology, et cetera. Why aren't we all applying this to our lives? What is it that's stopping us?
Because in Chinese medicine, the health paradigm is about health. Unfortunately, the paradigm in conventional medicine is about dividing the body up, specializing in each one of these body parts, and none of it is connected. And unfortunately, also the paradigm is also about studying disease. So you can't help a person become healthy if all you see is the disease, and of course their diagnosis is actually a label. Our diagnosis actually tells you why you have the problem, not just what.
Right.
If you got a concussion, you know it's a blow to the head. Well, how does that help anybody? It doesn't, right?
Right.
So I'll give you an example. If I can give you a quick example, would
please,
that be okay?
Please. Yes,
okay.
Please.
So in the case of my oldest son, he was the one who really brought concussions home to me because he was playing soccer one day with his men's team. And so he was on one side of the field. He was a defender. He was doing what he was supposed to be doing. His teammate on the other side of the field kicked the ball towards him. Well, he was so preoccupied with the opposite player that he had no idea that the ball was coming towards him, so he wasn't ready for it. So it struck him really hard on the right side of his head, just above the ear. And so he went down, and his teammates brought him off, left him on the sidelines, and when he was sorting things out, that's when he realized he couldn't see.
Well,
he knew he had his eyes open, yes, so he was blinded.
Right.
And he didn't know how long he was sitting there, 10 to 20 minutes, but eventually his eyesight did come back, and then he decided to go back out in the field. Now, for two weeks, he decided he was going to take care of this himself. And after 2 weeks, everything had gone from bad to worse. He was not eating. He wasn't sleeping. And he was trying to work his full-time job as a professional engineer. And so that's one thing he didn't stop doing. He had to go into work. And so when he asked me for help, of course I said yes. And
yes,
we started to work. And knowing that his head had been hit where it was, there's actually what we call in Chinese anatomy these meridians. And that particular meridian that ran around his ears is called the gallbladder meridian. And the gallbladder governs decision-making. The gallbladder governs courage as well, because it takes courage to make decisions. And even in Western lingo, you know, you can tell a person, wow, you've got a lot of gall because they got a lot of nerve.
Right.
A lot of courage, sure. Right? So,
right.
But I found out through our intake that he was having some really bad problems at work. And they had a new supervisor. And this new supervisor told his young engineers at the very first meeting that, I want to be your friend. Now, this did not go over well. One of his friends right away decided that he was going to quit. He was going to look for work, and he was going to quit. And he prepared to do so. But my son really wanted to stay because he loves working at this company. But he didn't want to work for this guy either. So he was really stressed out for several months, in fact, by, do I stay? Do I go? I hate this guy. I can't do this. What do I do?
Sure.
Because
right.
Neither... He didn't have a solution that would be a win, right? So
right.
I helped him by telling him that he had to face this problem and to make the first move. He had to go and set up meetings with this guy and ask him for what he wanted. Now, my son is a very quiet guy. He's kind of typical for an engineer, quiet personality, doesn't blurt out what's on his mind. So I knew he might say no, but God bless him, he said he would, because he couldn't keep going the way he was going. And so he did what I asked him to do every week. He went in and saw this guy, and I'm his accountability partner, as I am with all my clients. And he did it, and he started to feel better and stronger because he was taking back control of his life.
Sure.
And I told him, you know, there's no guarantee that this guy is going to do anything for you.
Right,
but
right.
Because he was taking the positive action, he just got better and better and better. So,
oh, that's great.
So
great
that's
ending.
What I mean by, you know, we have hints. We
right.
It gets so intuitive. And that's why it's so important to be able to help a person to raise up that confidence level for them to know that they can handle a tough situation like this. And it was...
Absolutely. Listen, we have about to the end of our show here. But before we go, if there's somebody out there who is listening today and they want to find out more about what you do or how to contact you, how can they do that?
They can definitely contact me at www.drjoanny.com, and they can pick up a report that's called 5 Things That You Should Never Do When You Have an Injury. They can definitely find my best-selling book, Heal Your Concussion, How to Quickly and Effectively Get Back in the Game, in Amazon. And I'm on Facebook Live every Thursday at 3:30 p.m. Mountain Time, 5:30 p.m. Eastern Time. And they can also catch me on Periscope if that's what they prefer.
Fantastic. Our special guest this week, Dr. Johnny Dr. Joni Lou. I want to thank her for that. Okay, we've come to another episode, end of an episode of Parent Factors with Dr. John, and we have to end it right there. We run out of time so quickly. I'm your host, Dr. John DeGarmo. Until next time, I bid you cheerio.